That means absolutely nothing. You might as well have said you were pinecone cousins. Nothing binds like pain shared. Well, here's some more of that. She pulls a bit of leather out of a wound. I yelp. Pain shared. I shudder. Not inflicted. Psychotic. Ow! You sound like a girl. Thought martyrs were tough. Then again, you could be barking mad. Fever when you were stabbed, probably. You traumatized Pax, by the way. He's crying. Good work. I actually hear Pax's sniffles from the armory. But it did work, eh? Sure, Messiah. You made yourself a cult. She mocks dryly. They're building idols to you in the square, kneeling in supplication of your wisdom. Oh, mighty lord. I will laugh when they find out they don't like you, and can have you flogged any time they do a naughty. Now hold still, you pixie, and stop talking. You annoy me. You know, when we graduate, maybe you should look into being a pink. Your touch is so tender. She smirks. Send me to a rose garden? Huh. Now that would tickle my father pink. Oh, stop squealing. The pun wasn't that bad. The next day, I organize my army. I give Mustang the duty of choosing 6 squads of 3 scouts each. I have 56 soldiers. More than half are slaves. I make her put a Ceres in each group, the most ambitious. They get 6 of the 8 comm units I found in Ceres' war room. The things are primitive, crackling earpieces, but they give my army something I've never had, an evolution beyond smoke signals. So, I'm assuming you have a plan besides just going south like some Mongol horde, Mustang says. Of course. We're going to find the House Apollo. True to my promise to Fitchner. The scouts strike out that night from House Ceres, fanning out to the south in 6 directions. My army follows at dawn, just before the winter sun rises. I will not squander this opportunity. Winter has forced the houses into fortresses. Deep snows and hidden ravines make heavy cavalry sluggish, less useful. The game has slowed, but I won't. Mars and Jupiter can battle it out for all I care. I'll come back for both later. At nightfall on the 2nd day of our move south, we see the fortress of Juno, already conquered by Jupiter. It lies to the west on a tributary of the Argos. Mountains frame it. Beyond that are the wintry 6-kilometer-high walls of Valles Marineris. My scouts bring me news of 3 enemy scouts, cavalry, in the fringes of the woods to the east. They think it is Pluto, the jackal's men. The horses are black, and the hair of the riders is dyed the same. They wear bones in their hair. I hear that they rattle like bamboo wind chimes as they ride. Whoever the riders are, they never come close, never fall into my traps. A girl is said to lead them. She rides a silver horse draped with a leather mantle sewn with unbleached bones. Apparently the medbots are not so good in the south. Lilith, I think. She and her scouts disappear south as a larger warband appears from the southeast and skirts along the Great Woods. These are now real armies of heavy horse. A single rider comes forward from the larger warband. He carries the archer pennant of Apollo. His hair is long and unbraided, his face hard from the winter winds that roll in from the southern sea. A cut on his forehead nearly claimed both his eyes, eyes that stare now at me, like 2 burning coals set in a face of hammered bronze. I walk forward to meet him, after telling my army to look as weathered and pathetic as humanly possible. Pax manages poorly. Mustang makes him go to his knees so he looks relatively normal. She stands on his shoulders for comic relief and starts a snowball fight as the emissary comes near. It's a rowdy, foolish affair, and it makes my army look wonderfully vulnerable. I fake a limp, toss away my wolf cloak, fake a shiver, make sure my pathetic durosteel sword looks more a cane than a weapon. Bend my long body as he approaches, and I spare a look back at my playing army. My look of embarrassment is almost split in half with a laugh. I swallow it down. His voice is like steel dragged over rough stone. No humor to him, no recognition that we're all teenagers playing a game, and that the real world still flows on outside this valley. In the South, things have happened to make them forget. So when I offer him a self-effacing smile, he does not return it. He is a man, not a boy. I think it is the first time I've seen someone fully transformed.
And you are but a ragged remnant from the North.
The Apollo Primus, Novas, scoffs. He tries guessing the house we hail from. I've made sure the Ceres standard is the one he sees. His eyes flicker.
He wants it for his own glory.
He also happily notices that more than half my army of 56 is enslaved.
You will not last long in the South. Perhaps you would like shelter from the cold, warm food, and bed. The South is harsh.
I can't wager it'll be worse than the North, man, I say. They have raised us, and Potsdam are there. Proctors turned their favor from us.
They are not there to favor you, weakling, he says. They help those who help themselves.
We helped ourselves as best we could, I say meekly. He spits on the ground.
Little child, do not whine here. The South does not listen to tears.
But, the South cannot be worse than the North. I shudder and tell him of the Reaper from the Highlands. A monster, a brute, a killer, evil, evil things. He nods when I speak of the Reaper.
So, he has heard of me. The Reaper of yours is dead. A shame. I would have liked to test myself against him.
He was a demon, I protest.
We have our own demons here. A one-eyed monster in the woods, and a worse monster in the mountains to the west.